Some friendships span time and distance, and sometimes decades and years, separated by other lifetimes lived. True friendships easily picked up where they've left off, even if the last meeting took place many years before. Polar opposites may find common ground, and similar personalities where common interests are shared. Friendship has been compared to silver and gold. I believe each and every friendship has worth. Perhaps friendship in all its forms is palladium, the most valuable of the precious metals. Although the value of each may differ, it cannot be weighed. May we take the different lessons we learn from each individual friendship and cherish them. As a saying goes, whether it's a reason, season, or a lifetime, no matter the shared experience, the bond exists and is important to the ever-growing story of our lives. This is the Tea and Midwifery, a Call the Midwife podcast. Share a spot of tea with us and listen along as we chat all things Call the Midwife. Episode 1, Friendship.
Hi, I'm Rachel.
And I'm Erin.
Thank you so much for joining us for our very first episode. We're so excited to have you here with us.
Yes, welcome. What kind of tea are you drinking?
I am drinking a local Portland tea by the Jasmine Pearl Tea Company. I am in Portland, Oregon, by the way. So I am drinking their... I wanted to start off with drinking a local tea. And this is called Honey Cup. And it looks just like that. It looks like a cup of honey, and it tastes like a cup of honey. And it's so good and warm and delicious going down. And it's also very
Sounds
relaxing.
Delicious.
I love drinking this tea right before bed.
Sounds delicious.
What are you drinking?
Chai tea.
I love chai tea. That's my go-to tea is chai.
I drink it hot all year, but I actually had it cold a couple of times when I was like working on a film project, and there was like a cool coffee shop nearby, and I would like we'd walk over to, and it was like the summer of chai tea.
That sounds amazing.
Chai tea lattes, but they were always iced.
Mm-hmm.
And now I barely ever get them. Even in the like 95 degree weather, I'm drinking like a hot chai tea. It's probably too much information about my tea, but
chai tea is good all times of year, so that works.
It kind of tastes like fall.
Yeah,
if you think
yeah.
about it.
That's where I drink yeah. most of my chai is in the fall, because it's such a good fall, warm, spicy
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah. So, I think we should start off today by talking about our friendship, because that's the theme of today's episode. And also, our lovely listeners should probably know a little bit more about us before we get too much into this.
Sounds great. And then we'll segue a little bit and talk about Jennifer Wirth and Heidi Thomas and their friendship and some of the friendships on the show. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A really important aspect of the show are the relationships and how they grow. So let's start out with our relationship and how it grew, being 3,000 miles apart.
Yeah. Well, we met around, like, I think it was, like, 2007, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. During the summer. It was very hot and buggy, I remember.
We were in the woods a lot, I think. You know, we worked...
Yeah.
We worked on a film shoot, and I think we were both interns,
mm-hmm.
right? And That was like the first movie I worked on, like in the crew, which was really interesting. And
yeah,
but I think that we bonded over shared moments of chaos,
mm-hmm.
which I wanted to say in my Vanessa Redgrave voice, a bond shared over moments of chaos. I don't know. Maybe that's more Jenny Agutter's voice, but it's a British accent almost.
It works. It sounds good.
honestly, though, I think that I had filled in for somebody else last minute, and mm-hmm. then I was, you know, searching for something, and which I think you pointed out to me that I was looking for earrings, a pair of earrings that nobody could find, and we found them. We did find the earrings.
Yes.
But it was like, I thought I was in candid camera or something, you know?
So. Yeah, because you just got there.
I literally had walked in like 10 minutes before, and they like were like, this is the room. This is what you need to do. I mean, and before that, too, I had to bring somebody. I was in wardrobe, so I had to bring somebody pants. And apparently they weren't the right pants. But I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. You just told me to get pants. Mm-hmm. Pants and earrings. And I'm like, I don't, you know, so. I mean, at least it's a funny story, you know. And
yeah.
It's interesting because I think that it's really interesting that someone could just bond over like a moment of chaos like that and then be friends for years after that, you know.
Yeah, and I do think it's funny. One of the last times we talked over the phone, we were discussing this, how we always kind of missed each other. Because we had some of the same friend groups. And
yeah.
You went to school with my brother and sister, and then I was in a relationship with somebody who you knew their sister, and we lived like right down the street from each other for a little bit,
I think we lived
your grandmother
next door to each other.
Yeah,
down the street. It was down the street.
It was down the street. Like, I feel like we kept on missing each other, like, before we even met each other. So
maybe the person's sister that you were with at the time lived next door to me.
Oh, okay.
So you would have
been
right. There, maybe.
Yeah, I was over her house a lot because I was babysitting her daughter.
So that's why. So. I know. And so it's so kind of funny. Maybe it was just meant to be. But yeah, I know. It was kind of like paths crossing. You know, and had you not walked in at that moment where I was brand new looking for these earrings, we probably were doing so many different tasks on that, you know, film shoot. So I don't know. We probably would have, you know, smiled at each other and nodded because I think
we were in very different departments.
Yeah. We were both trying to stay out of everybody's way and just do what we were supposed to do. You know.
Yeah. But whenever I saw you, I'm like, there's Erin. Like, I'm going to go talk to her because, you were my friend on the shoot, you know?
I know. I felt the same way about you. But I know. It's so funny to think it was so long. It feels like a lifetime ago to me.
It does. Yeah. Well, it was like, what? 2007.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah, because I was in makeup school in New York, and I took on a whim and ended up coming home, and like I needed a job, and I was looking, you know, for, you know, makeup jobs in film and television, mm-hmm. and I ended up coming across this, which was in wardrobe. And they hired me the same day and asked me to drive there the same day that I, like, literally within 15 minutes of applying. It was, like, the weirdest, the weirdest thing. Like, I don't know. So, I've never had anything like that happen before or since. But.
Yeah.
I guess it was meant to be that, you know. Because I was only there a couple days, too. The film was almost over. Someone was leaving and going away to school. And so.
Mm-hmm.
They needed someone for the last couple of days, so.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how we met, and in the past, how many years, we just pick up where we left off, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because I moved to Oregon in, like, 2009, I think. So most of our friendship, it's been long distance. And yeah, we just pick up where we left off. We check in with each other once or twice a year. And just recently, we started talking about maybe doing a podcast. We were talking about possibly doing in some sort of anthology, which I'm not going to talk about because I still want to do.
We'll keep it on the DL then, in case it happens, right?
Yeah. But then you mentioned on Instagram that you love Call the Midwife, and then I commented, I'm like, Call the Midwife is like my favorite show. And then somehow, and now we're doing this.
Yeah, no, because I was like thinking about doing a podcast by myself, but we had been talking about doing a podcast, but I was like, I didn't know you watched the show. And I was like, but I mentioned it. But then I realized I was just being very evasive about like what I was doing. And I never mentioned Call the Midwife in the text to you. And then I was like, oh, she likes Call the Midwife. There's our podcast. Because we've been talking about this since the pandemic. You know, because we tried to start a writing group and we like, we've been much better about checking in. And I think, you know, that's one thing about the last year has been, it's really interesting with Zoom and things. Priorities have shifted, jobs have shifted. And I find that like what matters has shifted, you know, or what matters has always been what matters. But you look at life and say, we need to nurture this relationship more. We need to, you know, keep in touch better. Because you see, you know, how short life is and how anything can happen. And you
wanna... I mean, I think Call the Midwife really puts that into perspective.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
We see a lot of birth, but we also see a lot of death on that show. Mm-hmm. And it really shows you, like, anything can happen.
So tell me about what drew you into the show. Like, what did you find the most interesting about the series? Like, what characters do you relate to most? Like, tell me a little bit about your, like, Call the Midwife experience.
So I started watching a few years ago. Maybe, I'm thinking it was 2018. And it was sitting in my Netflix list for a long time. It was just staring me in the face one day. I'm like, all right, I'm going to start watching the show. I didn't know anything about it. I just knew the name of it, and that's it. But something about it drew me in. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty much love at first sight. And then I was mad at myself for waiting so long to watch it because it was so good.
I feel like
there's
that too.
So many things I love about it.
I'm mad that I'm not one of the fans from like 2012.
Right.
Like, I'm mad at myself for not being one of the fans from the beginning.
Yeah, same. I wanted to be there from the beginning,
I
wasn't.
I didn't know.
Call Dr. But Turner. I didn't know. Help.
Call Dr. Turner.
What's happening?
I don't know. All right, keep going. Sorry.
Yeah. So, pretty much every aspect of the show I love and has drawn me in and has kept me around to watching 9 seasons, coming on to 10 seasons.
Because we're in the U.S., so it's already aired in the U.K., right?
Yeah. So we haven't gotten it yet. And I didn't know much about the history of the London East End, and it's a history that I probably wouldn't have ever learned about if I didn't watch the show, if it didn't, you know, present this information to me. Obviously, the characters and the relationships are amazing, and I love how every episode is completely different. Like, there's always going to be a mother story giving birth to a baby, but like going on 9 seasons, it's amazing to me how every single story they keep different and relevant,
evolving with the times.
Yeah, it's always evolving, and just like it's always so different. You never know what the episode is going to bring you. I love that it's a show based on true events and real people and a time in history that I've never would have known existed if it wasn't for this show.
Yeah, and I feel like the grief aspect that you brought up earlier is where my connection kind of started with it. I know I've, you know, told you a little bit about this, but so I had it also in my list on Netflix for a long, long time, and I ended up I'm going to watch one episode and then 9 seasons later in like a matter of weeks. And then it's like, I'm obsessed. And I just love it so much. And the whole thing was too, is that my cousin was really into British television and she studied abroad in England at one point, and she always talked so fondly of it. And I was watching some sitcom with Miranda Hart that I just kind of, you know, found. I don't even know. I was watching the American version and it just popped up or something. And I was like, oh, this looks interesting. And I loved that. And I knew she was, you know, she played Chummy. I knew she was on the show because, you know, I was like, oh, okay, well, you let me check it out. And my cousin and I had a conversation about it. And she was like, oh, yeah, Call the Midwife is a show for you. Like, you will love this show. She's like, she didn't even really explain, like, why she thought I would like it. She just was like, I think that this is definitely a show that you would love. And, you know, she passed away in September during the pandemic in 2020. And so, like, it's like, I can't call her and say, you know, I'm watching Call the Midwife and, like, what do you think about this? So it's almost, though, feels like a way of, like, honoring that conversation. And I like how the show explores grief in a way. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's a lot of release of emotion when you watch the show. I think I cry all the time. I'm crying because it's happy. I'm crying because it's sad. I'm crying because I don't know why. Like, I'm crying because somebody's in love. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I'm just crying. But I feel like sometimes you need that. And I think that it's its own genre. There's nothing comparable. Like, it's just magnificent. And I don't know. I just love it.
Yeah, it's definitely its own show. Like, I've never seen another show that could compare to it.
Mm-mm. I agree.
And I think that's why, a lot of people love it and why it's going on 10 seasons plus.
You know what's funny, too, is that, like, the theme music, when it plays, I don't always, you know, sometimes you want to get to the next episode of something and you, like, skip the intro. But there's something about, like, when I was younger and watched TV shows and, like, watch them years later, and there's something so nostalgic about the theme song, and it kind of makes you, like, feel something. I think that the plucking of the chords in the Call the Midwife theme song makes me feel something, too. The music under, you know, is also perfect, too. It sets this, like, tone. It has just...
Yeah. I love the music, and I'm rewatching it, and I didn't notice how much, 1950s music that they throw in there, too. It's just a good mix of music, and I love instrumental music, too, so it just helps with the flow, and I never skip the opening. I love the opening.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And I'm a binge. I'm not so much a binge watcher of things with so many seasons either. Like, it's hard for me to commit to that. But yeah. I was just going to watch one episode and I couldn't stop. And I think for me, by the third season, I was just like 100% committed. Like, I need to finish this now. Like, I need to know what happens next.
Yeah, and also I think it's rare for a show to go on this long and for it to get better every season.
Yes.
It's so rare. There's shows that go on for a while, like, not even this long. I'm like, okay, show, you're past your prime. You need to end now because you already had your climax. But I feel like this show is still accelerating. Like, it's still...
Yeah, I like how they cover 1 year, like, every year, and I like how the characters are all growing and evolving as humans, the fashion changes, even the illnesses and things that they're working with change. Heidi Thomas has said, like, she, you know, the first thing she does is there's some sort of medical history record that she goes through, you know, every year to see you know, what was happening, which is so fascinating too, because it's like, it is a medical drama, but it's, you know, but it's so much more, you know, than that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's so much like the people, the Poplar itself, you know,
it's all a character, everything.
Yeah.
Even the way the table is set is a character, you know, right. Always food there. Somebody's always eating something.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, we were talking about Heidi Thomas. Do you want to segue into Jennifer Worth and Heidi Thomas? And
yeah, so let's do that. Let's elaborate a little bit and talk about how the show came about and the real friendship between Jennifer Worth, who is the writer of the memoirs, and the creator of the show, Heidi Thomas.
Whose husband also plays Dr. Turner.
Yes.
Which is fascinating.
Very lucky woman.
He's so handsome. Can we say that? Are we allowed to say that?
We're allowed to say.
He just seems like a really good person in general.
He is. He's a good person. He has a big heart and very caring. He definitely puts others before himself.
Both the character and the actor, from what I've seen in interviews, and I've read Heidi Thomas saying that she doesn't always know where her husband begins and Dr. Turner ends, if that makes sense. Something like along those lines, which it's like, I think it contributes to the magic of the show too.
For sure, yeah.
So you have some information on like Jennifer Worth and have found some interesting stuff.
Yeah, I don't want to get too much into Jennifer, just because like there's so much about her, and we want to do another episode on all the details. So this is what I'm calling the Cliff Notes for Jennifer Worth, the Cliff Notes version of Jennifer's life, because I feel like she lived about 10 lives. So there's so much information there. So she started her working life as a secretary at like just 16 years old, which I think is incredible. Like she left home. She went to, I don't know, secretary school. and then she became a secretary at age 16. And then after that, she became a nurse and a midwife. And then at the end of her nursing career, she worked with hospice patients, which I love because it's like a circle, you know, she worked with newborns and beginning of life, and then she finishes off her nursing career with working with people who are at the end of their lives and helping them with that, you know, the last part of their life, which I think is really nice. And then
you said
after
something, I'm sorry.
No, go on.
Well, you had said something to me about like she also was a musician at some point, which we've talked about the music in the show. So, you know, almost like, you know, I think there's this little thing sometimes that pay tribute to her in this series that we might not even realize.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she left nursing in 1973 to pursue her musical interests. And then that begins her a whole nother life that she lived, because she was she taught singing and piano. And then in 1984, which was my birth year, She performed as a soloist with choirs throughout the UK and Europe. So she had like a whole nother life after nursing, which is super incredible and admiring to me. And then, of course, in 2002, her first book, Called the Midwife, was published. She had another book before that, but for as far as Called the Midwife goes, the first book was published in 2002, and thus begins the journey.
So 2002 were when the books came out, but she and Heidi Thomas, it looks like met in like about 2008, and Pippa Harris, who's the executive producer of the show, had sent Heidi the books because they were thinking about doing the series, and she was kind of like, oh, I don't know, you know, she usually did period dramas, but like a little bit, you know, earlier than that. And she read a couple of pages and was completely hooked. And then she and Jennifer Worth started a friendship, and, you know, they were colleagues, and You told me a really cool story, too, that you had found about Heidi getting ready or something
for their first meeting. Yeah, for their first meeting. They're going to meet at a restaurant, and Heidi tried on 3 different dresses because she wanted to make a good impression. She really admired Jennifer, and she just wanted to look good and make a good first impression. And so she kept on trying on different dresses, and it ended up that she was late because she missed her train, I think, to the meeting. But yeah, I thought that was really cute. Like, she was nervous and excited, and
it's just neat how, like, you know, that kind of stuff happens. Or you're meant to, like, we were talking earlier about our friendship and how it was almost destined to happen at some point, you know. And even with a late train, you know, they ended up meeting and eventually forging a friendship and finding a common ground. And I think they both had their ideas, but I think Heidi did a really great job of keeping to the integrity of the novels with creating new characters and things in order to move the story forward.
Yeah, and elaborating too. Because there are some characters in the book that were very flat, that didn't have a lot of backgrounds or personality, so she grew those characters as well from the book.
Which is, you know, she's a brilliant writer and really finds things. Her character development is like an actor's dream, too. Like, I think, like, just every character, I would like to look at a script, because I feel like every character has their own personality to the point that you know that's on the written page. It's, you know, they have their own phrases and sayings and things that, you know, because we all repeat things as humans over and over and over again. That's what we do. We have our things, we have our catchphrases, and everybody seems to like have their own thing on the show that sets them apart from everybody else. And then you have these brilliant actors come in and bring these beautiful words to life, and then it's just brilliant. And the music, and there's flowers, you know, we're talking about, like, there's always flowers in episodes, and Heidi's always, like, Thomas is always, like, taking something from season 1 or season 4, and, like, all of a sudden it's in a newer season, and it's like, whoa, you know, oh my gosh, okay, I see that Easter egg, which I absolutely love.
Yeah, and I think that's really true to life as well.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing is about connections in life, too, it's like, they say there's 6 degrees of separation, and I think that sometimes what happens is, you know, like, are the synchronicities. You know, there's always, like, some sort of, like, interesting synchronicity that happens. You'll be talking about something, and you'll see it, or thinking of someone, and you see them, or something reminds you of something else. It's just really cool. It feels like a world that we're a part of, even though it's many years later.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And I loved the, I think, you know, we talked about a little bit, Jennifer Worth, they were going to plant a flower, like, the last day of filming the first season, and they didn't get to, but then there's flowers throughout the series.
Yeah, so it's like did plant the flower in a way, but they planted it in the show. Yeah.
And I love flowers, you know, they grow and they have new life sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. There's like symbolism in that,
and,
too, which is
fascinating. Oh, sorry. I recall a story that Heidi was telling about the last time she left Jennifer's home, because Jennifer was dying. She was diagnosed with cancer. And they had, like, their last meeting and their last get-together. And as Heidi left, she realized that Jennifer's yard was filled with forget-me-nots. And she's like, I've never seen so many forget-me-nots. And actually, here's the quote. It is a terrible thing to close a door on someone you will never see again. I leave through the drizzling forget-me-not-filled garden. I have never seen so many forget-me-nots. And go out through the side gate. I sit in my car and cry for a bit before acknowledging that Jennifer would consider this impractical. I drive home and get on with my work.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's just interesting to think about the mark that we make on the world. Mm-hmm. Some of us make large marks. Some of us, our impact is on a smaller scale. But she's making a mark on... She's still living through this.
Yes.
You know, even though the story's maybe changed a little bit. And I think that when she told the story, it took on a life of its own. And it wasn't just her story, which the show is kind of not just her story either. So when Jessica Raine decided to leave, it still worked.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so it was really who played, you know, Jenny Lee. But yeah, I just absolutely think it's amazing that sometimes your impact can be felt posthumously. Mm-hmm. I think we talked a little bit about, you know, Rent and Jonathan Larson and how he didn't even get to see all of that come to fruition. And this is just sometimes we leave and the impact we make is after that.
Yeah. And that happens with
a legacy.
Yeah, that happens with a lot of artists, it seems.
It's true. It is true.
Yeah.
And I thought it was also interesting, Jennifer Worth said that, like, in the day of midwifery, she, you know, it was necessary to become a midwife. And that when she went, she didn't know it was a convent. And first mm-hmm. she thought she was going to a small hospital. And I think, you know, she settled in, even though she didn't have, like, a faith. She still found this common ground yeah. with all of these people that they impacted her so much that she wrote books
right.
about it, you know. To think sometimes we walk up to a front door and we say, oh, my gosh, what did I get myself into? And then, you know, talking about the door, like Heidi Thomas, like, leaving.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you have her walking up to the door and entering this, you know, I guess life is a lot of doors. We're constantly entering and exiting through doors.
Yeah, I feel like she opened the door to all of us, like for all of us to hear the story.
Mm-hmm. When one door closes, another door opens, I suppose they mm-hmm. say, you know, wow. So it's a gift that I think the show is an absolute gift.
Yeah.
I feel grateful to have decided to watch that
yeah.
one episode.
I'm glad I stumbled upon it.
And I like the exploration of the intergenerational relationships mm-hmm. is what they call it. It's a word I'm just learning. But, you know, because my... I have an aunt who's in her 90s, and she's, like, one of my greatest friends. And so... I don't know. It's just all so fascinating, the people we meet and the connections we make and what impacts mm-hmm. us. And
you never know. You never know who's going to impact you. You never know if you're going to do anything that, you know, someone's going to be inspired by. It's the little
true.
Things, you know?
Well, you know, I think Jenny Lee was just living her life, you know? And then she became, you know, obviously got married and became Jennifer Worth. But she was just living her life. She was just, like you said, she had 10 lives. She was just living her life.
Yeah.
And this is a life lived that's now being shared.
Yeah.
Which
I get the feeling that she was
remarkable.
I get the feeling that she was a little surprised by people, that people were so interested in her life as a midwife. She was like, oh, it's so long ago, you know, in when Heidi, I have a quote from Heidi just saying, oh, you know, her love right now is music and midwifery was, you know, 30 years ago.
I think Heidi did a great job keeping to the integrity of her story on so many levels, though, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we never know what the thing that we do like you said, is going to be the thing that inspires someone or they connect to.
Yeah.
My grandmother talks about being a nurse, mm-hmm. you know, and that was a similar time period. She was a nurse. And there's a scene with Jenny Lee where she goes to London and she's talking to her, like, superior or whatever. And she basically tells her that her hours are her hours and she can't just sit with a patient. And eventually it brings her back to Nanata's house because that's not the kind of nurse she mm-hmm. wants to be. And my grandmother told me a story once about a child. I think it was a child who she became quite attached to as, or was a young person. I don't think it was a child, but it was a young person younger than her, but because she was quite young, but a young person. And they got ill and passed away, and she cried and she felt so sad about it. And someone who was in charge kind of told her that you're not supposed to get attached to patients and you're not supposed to get emotional. And I think human emotion is important. Yeah. And I think that in your time of need, seeing somebody that's not cold and that cares is extraordinarily important. Mm-hmm. And I think that the compassion and empathy that the midwives have, because they're dealing with a lot of things, not just childbirth. There's postpartum depression. They're dealing with loss and grief and different things. And they're also nurses as well. And so just to see the compassion and the empathy and the human connection and the care, you know, they call it caregiving. Yeah. It really defines caregiving. And I think my grandmother was sad about not being able to feel for this person mm-hmm. she had connected to.
Yeah. That's gotta
and
be hard.
And she did. She wasn't a nurse for long, but her sisters were both nurses because it was a time when you were a nurse or a secretary or a teacher. Mm-hmm. And she has fond memories and stories of being a nurse, and it impacted her greatly. And she didn't do it very long because then she got married and started a family. And my grandparents had a business, and they ended up, you know, she ended up focusing on that and the children. So, but she always talked about her time as mm-hmm. a nurse. So doesn't always have to be something that you do for a long time in your life that has an impact on you. So
I agree.
I don't know if I made any sense right
no,
there.
You did.
What do we bring it back around to friendships? Oh, my grandmother also, though, during her nurse's training, you know, they had, it's different than today. You know, they had like the housing and the things. So she talks about that as well. And there are still people that she's getting older now. So a lot of them are no longer with mm-hmm. us, but she kept in contact with a lot of her nursing friends.
That's great.
So, I don't know, maybe there's some sort of bonding with nurses at that time. I don't know, just...
I'm sure there was, especially mm-hmm. if you live with the people that you're working with. You know, those are your friends.
Yeah.
Those are the people you spend the most time with, so... it makes sense. That they would have lifetime friendships grow from that.
So... you know, we're talking about friendship. What is your favorite relationship or friendship on the show?
So this was a really hard decision because, as you know, there's tons of really wonderful relationships on the show. So it was very hard to pick. But I do have a favorite. And my favorite relationship is between Reggie and Fred. I love them together.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, I love Reggie. He has such a good heart and soul. And Fred, I love that Fred stepped in to be a father figure for him and taken Reggie when, you know, he just lost his mother and he really needed somebody. And I love the shenanigans that they get in.
I adore those two characters as well. And I think as Fred goes, I think that, you know, he's kind of always shows up for mm-hmm. people right at the best yeah. moments too. And sometimes it's kind of like in a very subtle way, which Fred's kind of like, you know, when he's in a room,
yeah.
but sometimes the way that he does things for others is in a more subtle manner, which is fascinating.
Yeah,
I love Reggie yeah. too.
He's adorable.
Yeah.
And you also don't adorable. See that many actors on shows that have Down syndrome. So I think the show offered that actor a really great opportunity to play Reggie, which is not seen.
Well, I love Reggie. Yeah.
And I think Reggie grounds Fred. And I think Fred really grew when he married Violet and had Reggie brought in his life, because he was kind of like, he was always there helping people, but then he was always trying to do his get-rich-quick schemes as well.
Yes.
Which never works. So I think Reggie helped ground Fred and helped him grow and mature.
I feel like that was such a great storyline for the show to explore.
Yeah.
And he's just such a joy.
Yeah.
Reggie is just
I like what he adds to the show.
Me too. I love when he has a scene, and it's just fantastic. And there, yeah, and his relationship with Violet is quite special too. Mm-hmm. They're such a sweet family.
Yes. I love that whole family unit. They work together so well.
It's like a banter.
Yes.
Yeah, they have such a cool banter. And she calls him by his whole full name. She calls him Fred Buckle. Yep. Like, she calls him by his full name. I love. But.
And I love that her last name is now Buckle, and she owns, like, a fabric and button, and I'm sure she sells Buckle's store. It works out really well. It's really cute.
It is cute. I think that, like, friendship in general is interesting because, like, sometimes we meet the most unlikely person that we click mm-hmm. with. Like, I think, like, it was interesting how when Nurse Crane first came temporarily to Nanata's house and she had a room with Barbara, Barbara was kind of unsure about her, and then by the end, she and Barbara found this, like, beautiful bond yeah. with each other.
They grew really close.
Oh, yeah. And then she asked her to be in her, like, her maid of honor, mm-hmm. or her matron of honor, or her maid, her bridesmaid. Her bridesmaid. She asked her to be her bridesmaid. And, oh gosh. I think, like, to pinpoint, like, what your favorite friendship is, it's, like, so hard yeah. because I love them all. I love that the show's female driven and that it shows females, like, getting mm-hmm. along, or they would say getting on with one another yeah. or whatever. But Lucille and Val had, like, a strong bond mm-hmm. when, you know, Lucille first came, and then Chemi. At one point, Chemi felt like the glue, and every time she came back, it was like she brought everybody together yeah. in a really interesting way. And then Sister Monica Joan kind of is always giving, like, special life advice to someone.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it's always in code, too. Like, you have to decipher what she's saying.
Riddles.
Yeah.
I love it. And then I love how Sheila and Sister Julienne's relationship has evolved mm-hmm. since she's been Sister Bernadette, and they kind of have such a interesting, like, give and take and nurturing relationship, and at times it's almost like mother-daughterly, but then they're almost like sisters. It's just a beautiful friendship too. And then now Nurse Crane and Miss Higgins have mm-hmm. kind of forged yeah. a relationship too, which is really, really cool. I like the two of them back and forth together.
Yeah.
Like, that's a really neat combo. But yeah.
But what's your favorite relationship on the show?
I think that I just love the Turners so much that I would say that I think that I love how Sister Bernadette was almost like friends with Timothy before she married Dr. Turner, and the three of them have like this almost like really nice friendship, even though they're a family and it's the mom and dad now and everything. Like, I think that their relationship is so special, mm-hmm. you know, because I think that, you know, Timothy was Dr. Turner's best man because they're best friends. Yeah. And I just love it. And now their family has grown so much, and they're just so cute.
I love their family.
I love them so much, you know. And like little, I do love May and Angela. I love their love for each other and their friendship. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my gosh, they are so cute.
Yeah,
just want to like.
Oh my god, yeah, they're adorable.
You want to give them like little snuggles. Yeah. They're just so cute, you know. But I don't know. Yeah. I love all of the relationships and all of the friendships, and it's so hard to like just pick
over
one.
10 years. I mean, you're introduced to so many people, and those people interact with each other differently, and it's just, I don't know. There's a lot of characters. Yeah.
I think it's why it works, though, too, is because, like, think about life. They say, like, when by the time you're 5, you meet, like, a certain amount of people. Mm-hmm. And by the time you're 90, imagine how many people have, you know, walked in and out of your life. Like, it's kind of one of the things I think works about the show is that, like, every season, like you said, is different. And there's always somebody new to meet. And, you know, you're invested in the core characters that have been with it since 2012, and you want to see them evolve and what happens. Mm-hmm. And now Timothy's going off to the university, and
he's grown so much. Because, like
the
I said,
kids are getting older.
I'm rewatching it, and I forgot how tiny Timothy was when the show first started. Oh my gosh, he's so cute,
adorable. Oh my gosh, and he's. Lines are so clever.
Yeah.
Like, I love his wit. Like, he's got he's an actual pianist. He's an actual musician. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
And so he had an audition apparently for the show because he was in a play that somebody saw and that he like could play the piano. And so, that's really him mm-hmm. playing the piano, I'm pretty sure, because he is a pianist and nice. Music is like his number one love in real life. So he shares that connection with Jennifer Worth.
Yeah, that's great.
Probably didn't even know it years apart, you know. And then Laura Main, who plays Sheila, is a singer. She's got her start in, like, musical theater. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the beautiful chapel singing you hear.
Yeah.
You know, in the first couple of seasons, you know, you hear her beautiful voice. I love how they incorporate music into the show.
Yeah,
too.
Me too. It is really an important role for the show.
Mm-hmm. Just so many cool elements. So we're going to ask our listeners a question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Want to hear their thoughts. And we'll give our thoughts too, but we want to hear from our listeners, and we're going to ask you guys a question every week so that you can weigh in on your thoughts on Call the Midwife, because I'm sure if you're listening, you love the show mm-hmm. probably as much as we do. So
and you can write us back on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. The questions will be available there, and you can answer through our social media accounts.
Should I ask? Do you want to ask?
You can ask.
Okay. Okay, so the question is, if you could ask one cast member a question about their character, what would you ask? Rachel.
So
Who would you ask?
I would ask, and I apologize if I say her last name wrong, Jenny Agutter? How do you say her?
I think it's Agutter.
Agutter, that's it. Jenny, you know, Agutter. I wrote it down as a, like, this is how you actually say it, but I still said it wrong. So it's Agater.
I'm terrible. It's Agater.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Jenny Agater.
Okay, so I'm going to start over again. Okay.
Everybody I hear say it says it with a British accent, right? So I don't know.
I was watching just so I can try to pronounce it right, I was watching a interview with her, and I wanted to hear the host say her name, but I still said
she's
it wrong.
She's lovely.
Oh, she's great. So, okay, I'm going to start over.
So, Sister Julienne.
Yeah, so I would ask Jenny Agater, who plays Sister Julienne. So she's been...
I think it's Agater.
Oh, my God.
Help. Keep this.
Help.
Brain freeze. Help.
Dr. Turner.
So, you guys, we're going to do a thing every time that, you know, we... There's a pause or a lapse and we don't know what to do.
Or start coughing. Or...
Yeah.
We choke on our tea.
Call Dr. Turner.
Anyway... So she's been with the show since the beginning, and I know Sister Julienne loves her life as a nun, and she loves to care for others. She's a very nurturing person. But sometimes you get a glimpse of her life before she was a nun, and sometimes you get a sense of regret and longing, I feel. And mm-hmm. I could be wrong, because I'm rewatching the episodes, and I'm a little foggy on some of the information, but I do remember she gets a sense of regret and longing of a different life that she could have lived.
There was an episode where she, it revealed that her name was Louise, mm-hmm. and that she was in love with a man once, and she had kept a few things from him.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. she and Sheila kind of had a conversation about it. And how she made almost like the opposite choice.
Yeah, so that is my question.
She chose the religious life.
Yeah, so that's my question. So my question would be to Jenny, is that do you think Sister Julienne's life... Okay, so I'm going to start that over. So what my question to Jenny would be is, do you think Sister Julienne's life would be... No, what am I doing? Hold on. I'm sorry.
Call Dr.
Help.
Turner. Ring doctor. Fetch Dr.
Okay,
Turner.
I'm going to change my question to, do you think Sister Julienne would have chosen, if going back in time, she would have chosen a different life? Would she have chosen the life of love over the life of being a nun? And how different do you think her life would be?
That's a really great question. And I think it begs the question of retrospect for all of us. Mm-hmm. It's like when you get to a certain age, you're like, did I do everything? And especially with the pandemic for me, I was like, I haven't done anything, you know, because they thought that I was sick, but they wouldn't test me, so I didn't know. Wow. And so I was thinking, oh my gosh, I might die. And what have I done? And did I say what I needed to say to people? Did I do what I needed to do? And I think that we look back on our lives, and it's hard sometimes to not look back with a what if, or not look back with a regret, and to keep your eyes forward and keep going forward, because there are things that happen in our lives that, you know, sometimes choices are made for us, and sometimes we make choices and we wonder about outcomes.
Yeah.
So that's a beautiful question.
And, like,
I would love to hear her response to that.
I would too. And being a nun is such a huge decision.
Commitment.
And usually you make it when you're younger and you haven't experienced all of what life can show you, you know, so... I mean, it could be a mistake. Like with Sheila, like she went, had that thing, like she was going through the motions of wondering if, you know, if she should leave being a nun or not. You know, that must have been a really hard decision.
Yeah, I think about that a lot, actually. And, you know, Sister Julienne said to the man, I can't remember his name, but in the scene about, or he said he noticed her faith growing. Mm-hmm. you know, and she and Sheila had a conversation about where to find the answers and the words. And I think that both of them are trying so hard to understand what God's will is for them in both of the aspect of being a nun or being a wife and mother, you know, and they're both, their faith is strong either way. And I think that's also what was so, I don't know if the word is harrowing, when Sheila left the order, like, just, you could see how difficult it was to make that decision. Mm-hmm. And how torn she was. Yeah. And I think that Sister Julianne, it was very interesting to see that kind of side of that, you know, and to get a glimpse, like you said, into, like, her past and who she was or who she might have been if she had chosen something else. Because she is so nurturing. Yeah. So to think, you know, but should I tell you what my question is and who I want to talk to? I'm sure you can guess. I really absolutely love Sheila. So my question would be to Laura Main, because I would ask her if she thinks if Sheila was born at the same time as her, like, what does she think she would be doing? Because opportunities are a little different now. And while there were doctors at that time that were female, it was a lot less. Mm-hmm. And so, like, if she was 40 now in present day in 2021, would she still have an interest in medicine and being a nurse or become a doctor? Would she follow her passion for music instead? Like, she's so smart and, like, knowledgeable about things. Like, but then I'd hope too that, of course, that, like, she and Dr. Turner would find each other in this lifetime too and still be soulmates, of course. But but I would just love to know, like, if, I mean, I think it's a bizarre question because I think the show is, like, a really special time too. Mm-hmm. Not without its challenges, of course, but a short engagement and stuff was very normal. Or I tell you I love you and let's get married is kind of, seems like it happened.
Yeah.
You know. But I would just like to wonder what she would think, like, she might be doing. And did the time period influence her becoming a nun? And
yeah, I am curious.
Becoming a midwife, you know.
Yeah, because times are so different now. There's so many more choices for women. So, yeah, I think that's a really good question.
Because I think the thing that I connect to the most about Sheila and Sister Bernadette, you know, is that she is always seems like she's on the outside looking in a way. Mm-hmm. Even when she was a nun, she was, like, on the outside looking in a way. And even she's really good in confident when she's in her element. But sometimes when she's not, she's a little more unsure of herself. Like, she's found her bearings as a wife and a mother. She's confident in that. She's found, she's amazing midwife and nurse, you know. But if she's kind of, like, trying something new or a little uncertain, she's not as confident, which I find is kind of this similar with me. But I always do kind of feel like I'm almost, I'm there, but I'm almost, there are moments of being on the outside looking in. And I just think that matters as, you know, a person, like, even me, like, if I was, the 50s and the 60s almost seem like a simpler time for me. I feel like I would have done better in that time period.
I don't know.
I connect to that time period.
Yeah.
I don't know. It would have been different, you know, I would have been curious to see.
But, like, I also, you know, in that time period, you know, there wasn't a lot of opportunities, so, I mean, housewife, being a housewife is the main thing that women would do, and no shame to that, but you just have less opportunity.
I kind of think that I've gotten to a point in my life where I long for children mm-hmm. so much, and a husband, and being, and having that. That doesn't, you know, define your happiness, of course, but I don't know that I wouldn't have loved that if that was where my life had gone, you know.
I mean, some women, that they're very happy with being a housewife, being a mother, and taking care of the children. I mean, that's very fulfilling to a lot of people.
Yeah. And in a way, I think that I long for that, but yet it's like, though they always say the grass is always greener, so maybe, you know, I'm creative and I'm always wanting to create a project mm-hmm. or write or act or do something, so it's kind of like, okay, well, I don't know that I wouldn't have been, like, in over my head and said, oh, I can't do this, you know, who knows, you know. But that's the interesting thing about even what your question was, you know. I suppose we only have today, right? And we have to go forward.
Exactly.
And the past matters, and the stories matter, and the journey matters. We just have to keep going. Because you never know how your story is going to intersect with someone else's mm-hmm. or how it's going to help someone else. And
yeah, the choices you make could lead to something totally different than what you were expecting, you know?
And that's a good thing about the show, too, is that, like, it shows you that life doesn't always turn out the way that you plan, even if you try to plan, you know.
Yeah, and going back to the...
Life happens.
Going back to the opening doors thing. Like, you never know with what decisions you make what doors you're going to open or close. It's really interesting to me.
Me too. Or a window. I mean, maybe there's a window somewhere.
The nice breeze coming through it.
Speaking of friendship, too, before we go, one last thing is that something that I started doing a couple of years ago was saying to friends, thank you for your friendship, or I'm grateful for your friendship, because you, like Heidi Thomas said when she left that day and closed the door mm-hmm. and there were the forget-me-nots, that she knew it was the last time that she ever was going to see her. And so I say to you, thank you for your friendship, because I think that's really important.
It is important, and I appreciate your friendship.
Call somebody. So, and we'll tell somebody, and thank you for that. And we'll leave on that note and give somebody a call and tell them that you're grateful for their friendship or thank you for your friendship. Because I think this was a great reminder, and Call the Midwife is a really great reminder of friendship, and that we do have so much to be grateful for within our friendships.
Yeah, I agree. So that's it for the show. Thank you so much for joining us for our very first episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you had a good time, and I hope to also see your response to our question on our social media accounts.
Thank you guys so much. This is so fun. Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you, Erin. And we're looking forward to our next episode.
Have a great day, or night, or evening.
Whenever you're listening.
Yes.
All right. See you next time.
Bye. Bye.
Looking back on our lives and experiences, look not to what you haven't done, but to what you have done. Where you've been, and the journey itself. We all go further and reach higher than we realize. Our purpose within the relationships nurtured, the kindness shown. Even with the constraints of lack of opportunity or a life led simply, the sum of one's life is often seen as a gift, even if life wasn't always easily endured. Life is usually measured by those left behind, by fond memories of special moments shared. The connection, the friendship, and the love.
Thank you for listening to the Tea and Midwifery, a Call the Midwife podcast. We are so grateful for your support and look forward to you tuning in to our next episode. We also hope that you'll enjoy our bonus series, Till Next Time, Sister Bernadette, the Sheila Diaries, which will be our take on the innermost thoughts of Sheila Turner. Thanks again for sharing a spot of tea with us, and have a great day.